The Baseball Tonight podcast is presented by LinkedIn Jobs.
Way out of here. Oh,
goodness. This is Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Unfortunately, your flight to Bristol has been delayed once again. But for your entertainment purposes, please listen to the Baggage Claim Monday edition of the Baseball Tonight podcast with Buster Olney. The White Zone is for immediate.
And this is the Baseball Tonight podcast for Monday, June 21st, 2001. Producing from his home studio in the foothills of Connecticut is Taylor Schwenk. I'm Buster Olney, working from the busiest airport in the world on the D concourse in Atlanta. And that is the background noise that you will hear throughout this podcast. Taylor, before we get going, I just want to say this. A happy 17th birthday to my son, Jake, the big Braves fan.
Oh, very nice. Happy birthday, Jake. What is on Jake's birthday agenda? I know he's a guy who likes video games. He likes to play a little bit of hoop out in the yard. What do you think his ideal plan for today?
It's funny you asked that. He is taking an Italian final exam as we are speaking. And then after that, he wants to play video games. About 3 months ago, I was doing his dentist appointment schedule, and I scheduled a dental appointment for 2 o'clock today. And he reached out to me today and asked me to reschedule. was that a dad mistake to schedule a dentist appointment on his birthday?
I kind of think so, but I feel like it's easily recoverable. Like, you can definitely make up for it in some way or another. You know, maybe a little extra video game time tonight into the evening. I think he'll be okay, Buster. He'll forgive you for sure.
Well, I rescheduled it.
Wow, Father of the Year.
As I told you, my experience growing up was the only time where we didn't growing up on the farm that we didn't have to go to the barn was Christmas morning. Besides that, like, birthdays were like, yeah, happy birthday. Here's a cake. Go to the barn. And so it wasn't really, birthdays weren't that big of a deal growing up. But for Jake, it is a big deal. And I'm so proud of him. Love him so much. This is the first day of Major League Baseball's formal crackdown against foreign substances. But there's a lot more cool stuff going on today. You start with this. Top prospect Wander Franco is headed to the big leagues and will be called up from the minors by the Tampa Bay Rays. The team made that announcement on Sunday after our friend Mark Topkin broke that news on Twitter. The Rays don't play today, but they start a 6-game homestand on Tuesday against the Boston Red Sox. The Rays have lost 6 straight games, including this on Sunday.
1-1.
Yeah, I love that. That from the Mariners television network. The Yankees are the masters of the triple play this year. They already had 2 going into Sunday's game, and in the 9th inning, they did it again.
Very rare to see the Yankee bullpen up and throwing with Chapman on the mound. Yankees trying to hold on. They lead 2-1 top of the 9th inning. This could be 1-2 on the first. It's a triple play. They've done it again. 3 times a charm, and the Yankees win 2-1.
That was Michael Kay on WPIX. Yeah, the Yankees edging Oakland 2-1. They tied a Major League Baseball record shared by 11 other teams with 3 triple plays in one season. Most recently, the White Sox in 2016. It's the first game-ending triple play since 2009 when the Phillies did it. On Sunday Night Baseball, Braves and Cardinals. After the Cardinals won game 1 of a doubleheader, Ronald Acuna Jr. gave the Braves a lead in the bottom of the 3rd.
These fingers on the fastball, on those seams.
Oh, Acuna got a hold of one. That one's going to go. Ronald Acuna Jr. had been quiet for a while, but that was career homer number 100. 1-0 Atlanta.
Matt Viscurgeon with that call, and that would be the only run in this game. Ronald Acuna Jr. and Pablo Sandoval wearing mics last night. That was classic. Kyle Schwarber had himself a day against the Mets.
That ball is drilled deep to left. Going back is Smith. It is out of here. See you off the top of the wall. In later.
Bob Carpenter with that call on the National Television Network. Yeah, Kyle Schwarber, five homers over the course of two games. Indians and Pirates. Score was tied 1-1, top of the seventh, and this happened.
Pulls it right into the heart of the shift, and it gets through. Coming around third and scoring the go-ahead run is Eddie Rosario. Josh Naylor, he threaded the needle, and the Indians take a 2-1 lead.
That from the Indians Television Network. Cleveland continues to roll. Padres and Reds, the Padres trying to finish off a sweep. They got help from Will Myers.
Ball and two strikes. And Will shoots that one the other way. Deep to right. Naquin to the corner. And it is a fair ball up against the wall. Machado has scored. Here comes Hosmer. Will's on his way to third. A two-run triple. And now the ball gets away. He's going to come all the way home. Padres take a 3-0 lead.
Final score there would be 3-2. Now, there was this troubling moment from the weekend. Fernando Tatis Jr. had to leave Saturday's game against the Reds after diving for a ground ball and aggravating that left shoulder injury that he's been dealing with. He talked to a lot of folks around baseball about Tatis Jr., and they assume that at some point he's probably going to need surgery to get that fixed after the season's over. That would probably be the Padres' hope. Tigers and Angels. And the Tigers won this game 5-3, but another big moment for Shohei Ohtani.
Shohei Ohtani hits a high fly ball to right center field. 23 for Ohtani. We're tied.
Yeah, from the Angels Television Network. Ohtani, by the way, announced the other day, this is so exciting, that he's going to be in the Home Run Derby. I'm going to be talking about that with Tim Kirchin coming up. If you're looking for world-class soccer, ESPN Plus is where to find the best team, the biggest stars, and over 20 international leagues and tournaments, including the knockout rounds of the European Championship. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com. And today on ESPN Daily, Devin Booker and the Suns took Game 1 in the West, and the Bucks are meeting the Hawks in the East. Surprises, heroics. We break down all the NBA playoff drama on ESPN Daily. Listen on your favorite podcast app.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish.
Yes, the clutch hits, the strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, 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 with nothing on your roof. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
So as we mentioned, today is the first day of Major League Baseball's formal crackdown on the use of foreign substances by pitchers. Bill Miller, longtime baseball umpire, joined Matt Viscursion and Alex Rodriguez on Sunday Night Baseball to talk about how all this is going to work. Give a listen.
And as promised, we are joined by Bill Miller, over 20 years as a Major League umpire, four World Series on his resume, and Bill's taking some time from the Phoenix airport because his crew just had the Dodgers and Diamondbacks, and they went late. Bill, we appreciate the visit today. Tomorrow being the first day of enforcement for this new policy, as an umpire, are you guys instructed to look into certain spots? How exactly is this going to take place tomorrow?
Yeah, you know, it's this has been a work in progress. We've worked with the Players Association and Major League Baseball in order to just clean up the game. The foreign substance issue is kind of becoming forefront. Pitchers weren't hiding it, and so they've asked us to take a greater role. We've always in the past had the managers come out and ask the umpire to check the pitcher But there's been a reluctance on the manager's spot on that because they maybe they don't want their own pitchers checked. So Major League Baseball has asked us to be a little more proactive, and we will be searching. We'll be searching starting pitchers, all relievers, and we'll be checking hats, gloves, belts, and it won't be. We're not going to strip search them. We'll just make sure that they don't have any foreign substances on them.
So Bill Miller, also a UCLA grad, a big basketball program supporter, coming off the Final Four. Hey, Bill, take our viewers into the diamond. Someone's pitching. What do you say? Do you say, hey, so-and-so, can I see your glove, your hat? Walk us through that process.
Yeah, thanks, Alex, for asking that question, because that's something that we've been concerned with the pace of game, obviously. We don't want to slow it down. So we are going to be conducting these searches as the pitchers come off the mound. Mm. It'll be somewhere between the foul line and their dugout. We'll ask for their hat, their glove, potentially their belt. If we notice them on the mound, touching their wrist, their glove wrist, their forearm, or going to another part of their uniform, we could potentially look at that too.
How is the enforcement going to take place with other position players? Is that just kind of random when you see something that merits your attention?
Yeah, you know, I don't think we're going to be checking position players themselves. Unless we notice, it's really hard to tell, guys. So if a third baseman has his glove, and all their gloves are dirty, Alex would probably know better than I, but all their gloves have stuff on it. And so unless we see them potentially loading up the ball, we're not going after the position players. That's not – we just want to try to clean the game up the best we can. The catchers are a different story, though. The catchers will not be allowed to have pine tar on their shin guards or chest protectors, their gloves. They're going to have to be clean because they're touching the pitched ball every pitch.
0-1 the count to Austin Riley, visiting with Major League umpire Bill Miller about the new policy that goes into play tomorrow across Major League Baseball. And it's 0-2 to Riley now. Given we don't have a lot of time left with you, Bill, you know, the fact that you guys now have your job to do and this enforcer's role, is it going to spread everybody a little bit thin, or have the umpires been quick to accept this new kind of world?
Well, I think because this has been coming from the players, you know, a lot of position players are complaining about the spin rate. And so it's an understanding. You know, it got a little out of control, and we're here to clean it up just a little bit. You know, so we're just going to monitor it. I think it'll be good for the game. We're gonna do this fairly, evenly. We're not going to pick off certain individuals. You know, we're going to look for certain individuals. We're just going to let the game happen, check them as they come off the mound, and make sure that they're clean.
Bill, we really appreciate the time. Thanks for kind of clarifying some of this with us. Thanks for the first-person perspective. And come tomorrow. As always, good luck.
Great. Thank you, guys.
Safe travels.
Bill Miller taking some time with us prior to boarding a flight for his next destination.
That's a real commitment.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code BASEBALL. That's code BASEBALL. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Seam heads rejoice. This is Timmy time.
Baseball is the greatest game.
With Tim Kirkson.
It never disappoints you.
On Baseball Tonight.
Tim Kirkson, who covers baseball for ESPN, and also, Tim, is the host of Baseball Tonight. How cool is that, Tim? You got to host baseball tonight last night. It kind of reminded me in those occasional moments when Michael Jordan, you know, moved from the shooting guard to the small forward and moved into the point guard role.
It was really terrible. I was terrible, especially in the A's. It was so big. You know, Buster, we talk about how the game speeds up on you. Well, last night the show really sped up on me in the A's. Okay, we had like 20 highlights, and because no excuses, because the show was delayed, we had to change the entire rundown. So here I am doing the show for the first time in 7 years as the host, since we did the Seamhead show together. But the Seamhead show didn't have 20 highlights to begin the show. I was completely out of breath after the A's as I'm trying to rifle through all these highlights, some of which were running, some of which were cutting out, and we're all learning this on the fly. So it's not like I didn't have respect for Carl Ravitch before. I've always had enormous respect for him. He's the best show host I've ever seen. But I have even more respect for him after yesterday, when the show got a little too fast for the little point guard in the big seat yesterday. And I'd love to take another run at that sometime, but I need to recover first.
Yeah, I totally get it. You know, one thing I've learned about the way that you and I prepare is we both have anxiety. And I could feel yours yesterday when I got a text message. Was that like 2 o'clock in the morning when you texted me and said, call me, there's no rush, I want to talk about the show. No, I'm kidding. It was like 10 o'clock in the morning, and it was like 8 hours before the thing, and you were wondering about what the rain situation was with the Braves and the Cardinals yesterday.
Well, I just like to be prepared for everything, Buster, and I was ready to go for that show last night, and then everything changed because, you know, women's basketball pushed it back about 20 minutes, the start of it, and then that took the rundown. I might as well just thrown the thing out because we had to, Greg Colley and I had to redo the whole show on the fly. Even a really good show host would have trouble with that. I had a lot of trouble with that.
Well, you're more brave than I am, because early in my time at ESPN, they talked to me about maybe being a, you know, fill-in point guard for, you know, for the morning show, Mike and Mike, or a couple others. I'm like, nope, a man's got to know his limitations. And I certainly, there's no way that I could handle that sort of traffic. So you did a great job with the Seamhead show, and then you did a nice job last night on the fly. All right, let's get to some stuff today. The big news broke in the middle of the game last night. Mark Topkin of the Tampa Bay Times reports that the Rays are calling up Wander Franco, baseball's best prospect, Tim. And I think you'll agree with me, he's going to have an immediate impact.
Yeah, absolutely. He's the best player in the minor leagues right now. I remember talking to all the Rays about him this spring, and Willie Adames told me there are no words to describe how good Wander Franco is. He was just shaking his head, and he said, I can't wait to play next to him. Well, as it turns out, they traded Willie Adames in order to make room eventually for Wander Franco, and now that time has come. As we know, Buster, there's nothing this guy can't do. He's a switch hitter. He can run. He's got great power, and he's really good defensively. So they really need him right now. They've lost 6 games in a row. Their pitching isn't what it was, especially with all the injuries that they have, and they haven't scored the runs that they were used to scoring. So this is the perfect time for him to come up. I just hope they don't say, okay, you need to come up and save us now because we're in a little bit of trouble. You can't do that to a young player. But if any young player can handle it, it's this guy, because his level of play is remarkably high for a 20-year-old.
I think you'll agree with me. This is not a perfect comparison, but kind of like the first time that you see Zion Williamson, you're like, wow, you don't see guys that big like Zion Williamson. I remember laying eyes on Wander Franco for the first time thinking, this guy's 19 years old. Look at that. He's got like the body of a 28-year-old. He is a physical player, Tim.
Right. And that's when I asked Kevin Cash, what has struck you the most about Wander Franco? And he goes, I just can't believe how big he is at that age. It usually takes way more time than 19, 20 years to grow into a body and be a full man. Well, he's already there. And in this day and age, when you are facing pitching like this and you have to play this many games, you better be a robust physical man. And that's exactly what Wander Franco is. And I can't wait to watch him play on the major league level.
Yeah, and he's coming to the big leagues just as the American League East begins to tighten. You know, the Red Sox actually passing the Rays, the Yankees drawing closer, winning a couple of games. So it's going to be a lot of fun, a ton of fun where you have it guaranteed at the Home Run Derby. Tim, on Friday, we got the first announcement of who's going to participate, and Shohei Ohtani. And Carl Ravitch and I thought, you know, he probably will bypass it because of the physical toll of pitching and hitting. You know, it's not something we could see him doing, but he announced himself on Friday that he's going to be in the Home Run Derby. And so now we know that we're going to get Pete Alonso, the defending champion, Shohei Ohtani, and you would assume Ronald Acuna Jr. could join. You would assume Vladimir Guerrero Jr. could join. This is going to be unbelievable. I've never been so excited about a Home Run Derby.
Right. And it all starts with Ohtani, because you're right, Buster. Anyone had a right to say, from a physical standpoint, I can't do this, it's Ohtani. If any team had the right to say, we're not letting our guy do this, it's the Angels. The fact that he is in this early, he acknowledged it on Twitter, which means it has to be true. Then this is great for baseball, because he's going to put on a show and everyone's going to try to beat him. And I love it. I love the Home Run Derby ever since they went to the clock. You know, Todd Frazier in Cincinnati that night saved the Home Run Derby, as far as I'm concerned. And now it's a great event again, and it's going to be greater this year because it's in Colorado, but it's going to be especially great because Ohtani's in it and he's going to be going in pretty hot. Buster, six homers in the last six games for this guy. And it's just incredible when I watch him take that ball on the inside part of the plate, keep those hands in and hit a home run to left center field. That not many people can do that. He can do that seemingly pretty easily.
And just to be clear, I don't think that a formal announcement has been made on Pete Alonso, but you know, he's said all along as he can do it, he wants to do it. He is the defending champion, and you would assume the Major League Baseball will extend an invite to him.
And Tyler O'Neill, who you said last night, Tyler O'Neill of the Cardinals wants to do this too. He should do it also. They should let him in, A, because he's a great power hitter in the major leagues. I hope I say this right. He should do the Home Run Derby with his shirt off, because I'm not sure I have ever met a baseball player who has a more weightlifter's build than him. We all know his dad is a weightlifting master and champion from Canada. His son isn't far behind his dad. So I would love to see Tyler O'Neill in the Home Run Derby also.
And we're going to hear from Tyler O'Neill later in the podcast when I asked him if he's interested in doing the Home Run Derby. I had a conversation to him about Ohtani with some of the Major League Baseball, and we're just sort of musing about the fact, and this is before we heard that he was going to do it. But then you thought back, you know, typically in the past, you know, teams would discourage someone in Ohtani's position from participating. But then, you know, in my conversation with this official, he said, you know, on one hand, the Angels are saying, look, we're taking the bubble wrap off. We're going to talk to you on a day-to-day basis, see how you feel. You can't say that, Tim, and say, we're going to use you a lot more. We're not going to worry about, you know, overtaxing you. And then on the other hand, also say to someone, and we don't want you to do the Home Run Derby. And that was the sort of the sliver of hope that I was hoping for.
Right. And I'm just not in the camp, Buster, that, oh my gosh, somebody's going to get hurt doing this. Look, I understand it's a possibility. I would be really careful with it. I totally understand. But a lot of guys swing this hard in batting practice all the time. I just think when you're as great a world-class athlete as Ohtani is, I think he'll be fine competing in a Home Run Derby.
All right. So later today, we get the first formal enforcement from the umpires of baseball's foreign substance rule. You heard Bill Miller during the course of last night's game talk about, you know, what's to come. And I think, you know, just listen to Bill. I think what was good about it is that he made it very clear, look, they're not going to pick on anybody. It's just a broad sweep because The position players in sport have had it.
Yeah, this is going to be a fascinating day and night in Major League Baseball. And it's not just going to be tonight. It's going to be a bunch of nights. And the fact that the umpires like Bill Miller are all in on this, I think changes the dynamic slightly. In other words, if they were being told you have to do this and they say, we don't want to do this, then I don't think it would have any teeth to it. But the fact that the umpires are in on this because it's their job to do this now, whether it should be their job or not, is not the point. It's their job. And now they are the TSA security agents. And it's going to be fascinating to see how this goes. Look, I totally understand Tyler Glasnow and Garrett Cole saying you can't change the rules on us midseason. I really do understand that. But if it's indeed true, as I've been told by several different people in the game, the pitchers took an inch and then they were given an inch, then they took a mile. Well, if they're doing something illegal, then it's got to be stopped, and it's got to be stopped now. Now, the policing is going to be difficult, but I can't wait to see what the umpires do about this. It could get ugly at times. It could get really messy, but I think something needs to be done midseason or not.
You should have seen, Tim, last night during our broadcast, Alex Rodriguez pulled out some of the spider tech, and he was trying to handle it and demonstrate how pitchers use it essentially as a lever to increase spin rate. But watching him during the commercial break put his fingers into the spider tech and then try to extricate himself, I got the feeling that they would almost have to bring in a surgeon to get that stuff off his hands. That's unbelievable stuff.
Yes, Kevin Connors did that during our game the other night. He was our play-by-play guy, and he didn't use spider tack. He used something far less sticky, and it was revealing how sticky it was on his fingers. He couldn't get a piece of paper off of his finger. It was great. And that wasn't even spider tack. So I just don't know how you can take such a sticky substance, put it on a baseball and command that baseball. But that's why they use it, because they need to be able to control a baseball. I just think they've gone too far with it. It's just like David Ross told us. He said, look, guys have been loading up baseballs forever, but now they've gone over the edge. They're getting a competitive advantage and it's not fair. So that's what starts tonight.
So when we started this conversation earlier this season about the foreign substance crackdown, I had a couple of officials tell me that they really hoped that as this started, that the gentleman's agreement that's gone on for decades between managers about not checking opposing pitchers would evaporate. And that's exactly, Tim, what I think is going to happen. Reported yesterday that at least three teams that I know of intend to challenge or ask for checks of opposing pitchers if they see something suspicious, some picture on the internet or maybe video of what they think is foreign substance in a pitcher's glove or on his hat, or maybe they see an unusual spike in spin rate from a starting pitcher in the middle of the game. They're going to give that information to the manager, and the manager of those teams will go out and they will ask for a check. I think this is a good thing, Tim, and you and I both know that once you have one or two or three teams start to ask for checks, then the gentleman's agreement will just absolutely evaporate in a heartbeat.
Yeah, and as I've told you, Buster, you know, remember when Davey Johnson called out, I think it was Joel Peralta many years ago. I had managers tell me, what's he doing? His guys are using it too. Well, typical Maverick Davey Johnson said, I don't care. And now I think a lot of managers aren't going to care anymore. They're going to tell their own pitchers, if you're doing it, you're going to have to stop it, because I'm going after their guys if we see something fishy. And we've seen a lot of fishy things here, obviously, recently. But again, Buster, I think this is good. And with everything being so visible today in this Twitter era in which we're living, you know, maybe the steroid era never happens if it happened during the Twitter era. Maybe the cheating scandal that the Astros got caught in wouldn't have happened so easily if we weren't checking and there weren't so many visible signs of things. I think this issue can go away rather quickly if the managers step up, and I think they will, because their position players are telling them, you guys got to do something. And I think that starts tonight.
Yeah, a high-ranking executive on one of the teams I reported on basically said, look, moving forward, we're all under the, you know, the premise that this is going to be a level playing field. And we've informed our players that this is going to happen. And we assume our players will honor that. And we expect other teams to honor that. So in light of that, they will absolutely crack down. And something else, Tim, that I really heard a lot of over the weekend was this broad reassessment of pitching that is going to take place in the weeks ahead. And it's fascinating because we're moving up toward the trade deadline and you have folks, you know, evaluators and scouts, and front office people and staffers all asking the question, okay, what's real and what's not real among what pitchers have accomplished? And it's not only at the big league level, but it's at the minor league level where pitchers have been using this. We've seen guys suspended for using it. And there's an assumption that draft eligible players are using it. And so now they're asking questions. Geez, how much of this pitcher success was rooted in the use of foreign substance? And it's not a, you know, a moral judgment. It's literally it's a talent evaluation. And they're just wondering how these pitchers are going to be. The other day, I got a text message from a coach who said, have you seen so-and-so? And he was referring to a high-profile reliever in the American League East who suddenly can't command his fastball at the top of the zone. And he's a completely different pitcher. If he's not able to do that, Tim, those are the kinds of conversations going on around baseball.
Yeah, and I've heard them too, Buster. And I'm hoping that maybe this changes our viewpoint of pitching in general. So many of our pitchers, all they care about is how hard they throw, what kind of movement they can get, what kind of spin rate they can get. And ultimately, that's why so many of them are getting hurt. Tyler Glasnow said the other day, look, I know the reason I got hurt is because I'm 6'7" and I throw 100 miles an hour. That's what everyone is trying to do. The violent deliveries that we're seeing, the absolute 100% force on every pitch they throw is something I think we need to examine. Or Hershiser used to tell me in the mid-80s, granted, it was a different game and he's pitching in the National League and up come the 7, 8, 9 guys in an inning. He said, I could just throw a couple sinkers, a couple sliders, 10 pitches. I'm out of that inning easily with absolutely no, you know, effort given. Well, it doesn't work that way anymore, given the hitters that they're facing. But this is where I think we need to examine again. Are we pushing these guys too hard? Are we telling them you have to get your spin rate to this number? You have to get your velocity to this number. And that's where the illegal foreign substances are coming in. And that's where the injuries are coming in. So hopefully tonight we'll start, you know, a look at, are we pushing these guys way too hard and getting them hurt way too often?
All right, Tim, before you go, I want to talk about this, just a wrenching piece that was published yesterday in the New York Times by Kat O'Brien, who, as you know, a longtime beat writer, worked in Fort Worth and in New York. She wrote about how she was raped by a player in the time she was covering the Rangers. It was absolutely heartbreaking to read this. You know, Tim, I know Kat, you know Kat, I don't know her well, but I remember when she stopped covering baseball being surprised because it was something she's obviously really good at. And when you read this piece, what was so devastating was the idea that, you know, that she would have, you know, this experience and then to have her life as, you know, altered in such a way that, you know, that her chosen profession, what she wanted to do. The joy in that, you know, diminished, you know, devastated. It was awful to read. I really hope that Major League Baseball will look into this and support her any way that she wants. And if this person who did this still works under baseball's umbrella, that baseball will take action against that person. What do you think?
Yeah, I had trouble getting through that entire story. It was so difficult to read. And I know Kat. I know I had many talks with her about how much baseball meant to her, how much she loves baseball, and for that to be taken away was, again, heartbreaking to read and to understand now. So baseball has to look into this, and hopefully baseball will, because this can't happen to anyone within the game, especially someone who wants to cover the game and then essentially has that taken away. And the courage it took for her to write that story, oh, my goodness, that was very, very impressive and very difficult.
She clearly did not feel supported. And I hope that moving forward that she gets a lot of support. Absolutely wrenching to read. All right, Tim, thanks for doing this.
Okay, Buster, thank you.
The other day I got a chance to talk with Tyler O'Neill, rapid fire, the Cardinals outfielder, great sense of humor.
What's behind your breakout this year?
Keeping things simple, not getting caught up in too many numbers, and just using what works for me and what I've done in the past.
Your dad, of course, has been a bodybuilder, Mr. Canada, 1975. What'd you learn from him?
Yeah, my dad was a great influencer for me to get in the weight room the first time. Got me weightlifting, taught me workout regimens, taught me routines.
What's it like for you to look at his pictures from back in the day?
Yeah, he's a big dude, man.
How much have you worked out with him?
A good amount. We go occasionally in the off season, a couple times a week or so, and just like a little bonding trip or something. We all want to grow up as kids and, be able to overtake that.
In the past, you've shocked teammates with your ability to play a keyboard. When did you start doing that?
I started learning piano when I was maybe 6 or 7 years old. A half hour a day, hour a day. Once you get the scales and the chords, you can pretty much play anything you want. Learn to read music, it's like you're reading a language. It's definitely a way that I feel like I can open my pathways in my brain and, be more rhythmic and have a better tempo.
What's the coolest reaction you got from a teammate the first time that you surprised them with that?
I was over in Seattle with my first big league camp, and I ended up playing them a couple different pieces on the keyboard. That got a nice little standing ovation. A lot of people don't expect something like that for me, being a little bit of a hunky guy.
You mentioned you're from Canada. Why baseball over hockey?
I think I was just better at baseball, honestly. Just had a knack for hitting the ball.
There's video of you hitting a home run on a ball off a tee. How much strength does that require?
Yeah, I think I let that one rip a little bit.
How would you feel if you were asked to be in the home run derby?
I'd accept it instantly.
On Saturday, Chris Singleton caught up with Yankees manager Aaron Boone and started off by asking the skipper about the performance from A starter James Kaprielian on Friday night.
He was tough. Obviously he came in having pitched well for them, having a good year for them since his recall, and he was tough against us last night. We were able to get 3 runs off him because of a couple long balls, but really weren't able to mount much in the way of offense. He held us down pretty well. I thought it was a pretty good strike zone for pitchers last night. But he was commanding his fastball, working the slider off that. I thought his changeup was dancing well. He would elevate his fastball at times in some 2-strike counts. But he definitely made it tough on us, to have 3 runs against him and in a position to still win the game, was a good job by our offense on a night where he was in control a little bit, but, I thought he was tough overall.
Boone, your club coming off of a really good series in Toronto, sweeping them and coming from behind in some of those games, some good momentum. Does it look like you're starting to turn the corner in terms of the ability to score runs?
Yeah, I feel like really now for about 2 weeks, we're starting to resemble, the offense that we think we can be. We still have a ways to go to get there. I still think we're going to, get to that point of being an elite offensive team. And really over the last 10 days, 2 weeks, as a group, I feel like they're starting to build some momentum, gain some traction, get a little bit of that swagger back. We've had some really good come from behind games where we've leaned on our offense, where the first couple months that was a challenge for us. So hopefully, as it heats up here, we'll get Luke Voit back after the weekend, which should be nice and obviously add a little bit of length to our lineup. But I do feel like as a group, we're starting to have much better at-bats night in and night out.
Well, I've always been a big fan of DJ LeMahieu. This guy's just such a quality hitter and a real quality player. When you look at your team, and I know he's had his ups and downs this season, looks like things are getting better, but how critical is he to the success of the Yankees this season?
Yeah, he's getting there. Really, over the last couple of weeks, he's actually, I feel like, even swung the bat better than some of his numbers. He's getting some results now, but he's starting to, you know, find the barrel two and three and four times a game, and those line drives and the whole field, and obviously hit a big home run last night the other way where he really smoked the ball. So he's getting there. How critical? He's huge. I mean, you look at, I always say, if you combine 2019 and 2020, he's on the very short list of, you know, most valuable players in all of baseball, and really been the engine at the top of our lineup. So critical that we get him going, and that he's the player, you know, we've seen over the last few years.
Can we look for a bounce back start today from Domingo Germán, coming off of a tough one against Philadelphia?
Yeah, he's been so good all year, and really Philly was a struggle for him. You know, his secondary stuff was a little bit flat and didn't have his real command of his fastball, which are two staples for him. Usually he's got excellent fastball command, ability to use both sides of the plate with both two and four seam. And then his secondary, whether it's his breaking ball or his changeup, are pitches that he can use in any count and are strike pitches for him. And that was overall a real grind for him his last time out. So, I wouldn't be surprised at all to see him bounce back. He's been one of our most consistent performers.
Well, Booney, as always, we appreciate the time. Good luck in this one today, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks, Amy. Good talking to you.
Bleacher Tweets.
Alrighty, Buster. Bleacher Tweets for a Monday. First up, we have David at BaseballFan1918. David writes, with the news that number one prospect Wander Franco is getting his call to the show, which top prospect will be getting the call next? Maybe Torkelson with Detroit. He has a 4.25 on base percentage and a 5.38 slugging, and he has a 3.11 average in 37 games between single A and triple A. What do you think?
I don't think so. Look, we've talked in the past, I don't like service time manipulation, but you would assume that the Tigers are going to bring him along slowly because they're not close to contending. They're not close to being relevant. They still have to get more players in place, and so they'll give him plenty of time in the minor leagues before they call him up.
Let's go to Paris Hawks at Hawks_Paris. Paris writes, the Mariners just swept the now second place in the AL East Tampa Bay Rays. It would be nice to hear some positives about this team and how much fun they are to watch when they're winning, which is now a bit more than half the time. What do you think about the Mariners right now, Buster?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, Paris, we gave you the floor today. You talked about the Mariners. I can't say that I've watched them play a lot in recent days, just focusing on Sunday Night Baseball here, preparation down in Atlanta. But to your point, they are 38 and 36. They're 6.5 games out in the American League West, and clearly the team is getting better.
All right. Let's go to Lewis Adio Weiss at Adio_Lewis00. Lewis writes in, with the Nationals seemingly looking to be sellers at the deadline, does Kyle Schwarber look to be among the names worth selling on? It doesn't hurt that he hit 5 home runs last weekend against the first place Mets.
Yeah, it's interesting. I got some perspective on that. We had a conversation with Brian Snitker, the Braves manager, before yesterday's game. And Taylor, you would have been amazed to hear how passionate he was about the idea of, well, the Braves, you know, they're drifting out. They're not going to compete. He's like, it's a long season. Mm-hmm. We're not dead. We got a long ways to go. And I'm looking at it today. Nationals are 5 games out, right? They have a good week. They're suddenly just 2 games out, and then the whole conversation changes. And if I know Mike Rizzo, the general manager of the Nationals, and how competitive he is, they are not close to thinking about selling yet.
No, it's going to be probably a actual deadline decision for them. Swept the Pirates last week. That'll get you right there. Let's go to our last question for the day. Mr. Jakey at RS at Jakey RS79. Mr. Jakey writes in, I know it's early, but how confident are you that we already know our 5 AL playoff teams, Rays, A's, White Sox, Red Sox, and Astros? Is there a chance one of those teams could get knocked out by a team not on the list?
Yeah, I'm not confident at all. I think we got a long ways to go. I mean, who would have thought, you know, a week ago that the Rays would suddenly be drifting into second place in the American League East after losing a bunch of games? You know, the Red Sox are going to get Chris Sale back, they hope, but they're not exactly a team that without flaws. I Cleveland is interesting to me. Like, they're this, you know, they're like the turtle. They're the tortoise and the hare. they just keep on winning ball games. They're hanging in there. And the Yankees, you know, maybe their lineup performs better now that we've got this foreign substance crackdown. No, I'm not at all confident we know who the teams are going to be.
Alrighty, that does it for Bleacher Tweets. Hashtag Bleacher Tweets on Twitter as you're watching games. And thanks for writing in, everyone. Follow, rate, and review this podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts.
That's it for today. My thanks to Aaron Boone, Tim Kirchin, Bill Miller, Tyler O'Neill, and Taylor. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. And remember, hate and inequality based on skin color is something we need to fight against every single day.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, check out the Fantasy Focus podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. The Baseball Tonight podcast.